Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network and the official podcast of Left Wing Lock. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther, John Enns, and Tyler Homan. Boys, what's happening?
We are doing great. The Bengals are off to the Super Bowl.
I was just going
to
say.
For the first time in 33 years.
Congrats, Bruce. As Mike said earlier, you're probably the only Bengals fan that any of us know, so good on you. That's good stuff. John, we'll get to you in a second. Before we get rolling here, I got a couple of things I wanted to mention. So first up, we have a few shout outs. Thank you to Nick M. Thanks for some of the kind words you dropped earlier to us regarding the podcast. Glad you're enjoying the show and you're listening to it every Monday. Colin S., thank you as well for your words of encouragement. Glad to hear you enjoyed our waiver wire picks to date, and good luck with the rest of your season. And then another one here, Boys in the Booth podcast. Thanks for reaching out. Excited to hear that you've enjoyed the show and the Left Wing Lock app. And glad to hear that's been helping you guys through your season so far. Guys, you know, for our listeners, if you want to drop some feedback, feel free. We love hearing from everybody. We appreciate constructive criticism and words of encouragement. It always makes John feel good. So
I was going to say, just make sure it's good. Otherwise, you might end up on the list. So
yeah, exactly. One other thing too, we've got a poll running right now on Twitter, just looking for some feedback on content, what you guys want to see from us, whether it's on social media or on the podcast itself. But the more we get from you guys, the more we can kind of give you what you're looking for. So, there is a poll there and we are running that for the next 6 days or something. If you like and retweet the post or the tweet, we're going to put you into the draw for a $100 or $50. NHL Shop gift card. So be sure to check that out. And then I think with that, boys, let's get on to our first segment here.
You just made the list.
John, take it away, buddy.
For this week's rendition of the list, we're going with Sam Gagner because he's trash. Just...
God.
Sorry, go ahead. We will fight you, but go ahead.
Oh, I know you're going to fight me. I got to pull up my little list here I had of the, was it 2007 draft? Oh, if I can find it now. Just had it up. But the quality of players that were picked after Gagner, like...
What's that have to do with him?
Voracek was picked right behind him. Logan Couture, who I don't like anyways, but he's a lot better hockey player. Ryan McDonough, Kevin Shattenkirk, like David Perron. Like, there's a whole lot of better options out there than Sam Gagner, who, in my mind, he had that 1 8-point game, and then the rest is trash. And looking in the show notes, when you added Gagner in there for me here just moments ago,
yep,
you put in that he was playing for Detroit and it had completely like blew my mind, because I was like, man, this guy's been so bad for so long I can't even remember what team he's on anymore.
Glad I could help. Okay, well, first of all, you're wrong. He's a wonderful human being and a great hockey player, and you know what, of all those guys you mentioned, how many of them scored 8 points, John? In a single game.
I was going to say in a season loss, but...
No, in a single game.
Well, that's because he gets half his points in one game.
Oh, boy. Tyler, help me out here.
I'm not going to...
You can't even.
You're the worst. You're the worst.
I don't think the rest of those players that you listed there were asked to carry a team at 18.
I don't know what his...
Him and Cogliano were basically asked to shoulder the entire Oilers team.
And Pajarvi.
And that's why that team was so bad.
Oh, God. And Robert Nielsen.
Can't argue with you there. I mean, they had two 18-year-olds that are two best players. Yeah, and Robert Nielsen.
Oh, yeah, we had Robert Nielsen. who was that again?
Magnus Pajarvi.
Yep.
Yeah, see? I like great. Magnus Pajarvi more than like Sam Gagner.
Why? He was terrible.
You guys remember the HOPE acronym?
Yeah. No, I remember it. Omar?
Yeah, but so was Gagner.
Omar, yeah. that was...
He was good in shootouts,
sad times.
Like, 2013-14, he was in minus 29, plus minus. And then the next year, he was in minus 28.
The whole team was a minus 29 or larger.
More. Probably more.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were all bad.
He didn't get sheltered like the rest of the players in his draft class did.
I mean, Perron's been fantastic, but that's mostly in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Other than
Patty Kane, JVR.
Other than putting me on the list, this is probably
those two went ahead of him, but
probably your second worst selection for the list. The list is trash.
Well, that's just because I haven't put Ryan Smith on there because you already know my opinion on him.
Oh,
so.
Fuck. You put him on there.
Oh,
that's
my God.
It's it.
You put
it's
Smitty
over.
On the list and
it's
watch
over.
Tyler jump through the screen. Yeah.
I will. I'm going to drive all the way to fucking Saskatoon or wherever the fuck you are.
The next podcast, Tyler will be live.
Live.
Sitting
on the
we'll
other
just
side
see him walk
that.
In behind John.
Yeah, just club me from behind.
Oh, jeez.
You're on the list.
Okay, well, let's try and keep this on the rails a little bit.
Max Pacioretty is on there, too. Look at that, eh?
Yeah, he's pretty good, too.
Lars Eller.
What's his draft status got to do with him?
Yeah. Well, there's such high hopes for him, and he sucked.
I think if Edmonton didn't suck...
See, aforementioned comment about Astawa being carrying a team
at
18.
I think if Edmonton didn't suck as much
I don't care
Edmonton
your opinion's
sucked.
Wrong.
Okay. I'm just going to chime in here. I think we'll just let our listeners know, too. There's a bonus entry this week, and his name is John, because A, we disagree with Sam Gagner, but B... He had some technical difficulties getting rolling here, so we told him we're adding him to the list. He said that was okay. So,
and see,
I thought
trashed.
I was gonna be fine with Tyler being 10 minutes late, and then I was like, "Yeah,
yeah."
Not only did you beat his record, you doubled it with a little bit more.
Okay, well, that was an interesting John's list this week. Thanks, buddy.
I hated it.
Disappointing Tyler since 2021.
Every week, every Sunday.
Let's move on to Fantasy Lock of the Week here. Fantasy Lock of the Week, January 24th to the 30th, presented by Left Wing Lock. You guys probably won't like this one either, but I've got Johnny Gaudreau here as the Fantasy Lock of the Week.
Yuck.
Left wing, right wing eligible, 98% rostered. It actually pained me to put him in here, but he had 8 points this week, 2 goals, 1 game winner, 1 power play point, 15 shots on goal, and just about 19 and a half minutes time on ice in 4 games played. Since January 1st, Gaudreau is 12th in the league in scoring with 19 points, 5 goals in 11 games played. And 15 of those are actually at even strength. So even more impressive in my mind. But John, Tyler, when are you guys going to chime in? I know you are. Go for it.
The proper answer for this is in the honorable mentions, and you did the same thing last week.
Because I left Sid there, yeah.
You did.
Sid had another good week.
Did you guys watch the...
And as did Brian Rust, as did... I could have put Dylan Strome here. He had his first hat trick. He had a good week. Gabe Landeskog was another guy. But for honorable mentions this week, I've got Nazem Kadri. 7 points, 2 goals, 5 assists, 2 game winners, 3 power play points. And then, of course, Crosby again here with 7 points, 2 goals, 5 assists, 1 game winner. And 10 shots on goal. So sorry to disappoint you again, John. He's in there. He's close. But, I mean, I didn't quite think he was fitting to be on top this week again.
I'm guessing you all missed Gaudreau's game-winning goal from last
it was
night,
garbage.
Then?
Yep.
It was
absolutely.
JT Miller hung his team out to dry in overtime.
It was such a terrible
night.
Slap shot, too. Like, cool. Just a There's, muffin.
Well, Vancouver was horribly outplayed the entire game. They get to overtime, right? Miller is down the middle. He gets... Should have been a penalty. And refs didn't call it. He throws a fit and talks to
Hold
the refs.
Dry settle.
Three Flames and 2 Canucks go back the other way. 2 Flames go wide. 2 Vancouver players take the wide one. Gaudreau comes up the middle. Like, literally, you could have drove a semi through the amount of space he had. And the winger on the right side teed him up, but he just hammered it past Demko. He had no chance. Meanwhile, they showed the camera, Miller's cavalierly skating back to the bench.
That's rough.
Like, cavalier. Like, not even racing. He's just going out for a skate.
That slap shot was...
Your team battles the entire game and you got hung.
That slap shot was terrible. Like, it was just... It was a muffin. And it beat him... Like, it wasn't even over the pad. It was beside the pad.
Low blocker.
Disgusting.
No, it was just over the pad.
Gross.
Okay, well, there you have it. There's fantasy lock of the week. Let's move on to headlines of the hacks, news and injury updates for the 24th to the 30th. I'll mention again, our partner Left Wing Lock has a complete up-to-date list available on their website for all players placing COVID protocol. That list is shrinking. I think the last update I saw, we're down to roughly 20 players, which is great. As we had mentioned last week, they're going to stop testing for asymptomatic players post All-Star game, which is going to make everything just a little bit simpler in terms of hockey and fantasy hockey. So let's get it rolling here. January 24th, Keith Yandel tied Doug Jarvis's Ironman streak with 964 consecutive games played. That was a record that was held for 35 years. And then a couple nights later, he actually broke the record, played his 965th consecutive game. So congrats to Keith Yandel. That's quite the achievement. It sounds like, I think, is Phil Kessel right behind him? I think he's the next closest active
player. Yeah, he's not too far. He's not too far behind.
He's like 20 games behind or something. So,
something like that, yeah.
Anybody, I mean, if anybody told you can have hot dogs as a diet, they lied to you. Look at him. He's making a whole career out of it.
It was actually really funny. I saw a graphic with, it was Yandel, Kessel, Doug Jarvis, and there's one other guy in the graphic, and they all look like athletes, right? Except for Phil Kessel, who just looks like an ordinary dude. It was really funny, actually. But credit to him, because, I mean, he's right there, too, in that Ironman streak, and he's been productive. So,
yeah, he's 941.
There you go. Cool. Grzelcyk did not play on Monday night. He's still considered day-to-day, or was considered day-to-day. He's active now. Kaapo Kakko is week-to-week for the New York Rangers. He's had some struggles here in the early going of his career. Vitek Vanacek started for the Capitals again on Monday night. He's now started 9 of 11 games for the Capitals. And he started again yesterday, I believe. So he's all but taken that starting job for the Capitals. I mean, Bruce, you've talked about it lots. Neither goaltender has been great. But at this point, if you're looking for volume on a good team, on an elite-level team like the Capitals, Vanacek looks like a good option right now.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, he's got more wins than Samsonov, so as long as he keeps winning, he'll keep playing. They'll keep playing.
And as long as you're not playing head-to-head categories and you really care about their peripherals.
Yeah. It hasn't been pretty.
Cam Talbot made his return to the Wild on Monday. Chris Kreider, Ville Husso, and Timo Meier were named the NHL's 3 stars for the week ending January 23rd. How good's Kreider been this year? Anybody see that coming?
No.
Tyler Dahle. Yeah. No chance. Yeah. No chance. Nugent Hopkins was a full participant at Oilers practice on Monday. As we know, he's been back now for a game or two. John, I know you're happy. He put up some points for you in fantasy this week.
That guy's money.
Yeah, he's looked really good. let's just pause on that and talk about the Oilers really quickly. I mean, we're gonna talk about Evander Kane soon enough anyway. But so, you know, done deal. There's lots of speculation around it happening. I'll put the tweet from Elliot Friedman. I think it was Elliot Friedman that reported the contract. $2.1 million cap hit. Is that correct? And then prorated for the remainder of the season.
Yep.
He came as advertised. Right. Came in, scored a goal. The Oilers actually got the first goal of the game in how many months now? I don't know.
Against Montreal. So
that was great to see.
Keep in mind, it was Montreal. But...
yeah, I know. Let's not get too excited here, but I mean, they at least scored their first goal. That was a good sign. And I like the depth. Like, what did you guys think of the lineups? Like, I thought the way they've got it set up, it gives them a lot of depth all throughout.
Well, they play Nuge, Hyman, and Cassian on the third line. They do that consistently. They should get some, I think you had mentioned on tweets, that they should get some real good matchups. And it showed against Montreal they had. How many points did that line have?
Yeah.
Six?
Yeah. Five or six? They play good.
Even when they're not playing Montreal.
Cassian played like shit, and he has been for basically the entire season. I'd probably put Benson in that spot. Cassian's he's a plug this last year and a half. He's just terrible. Like, I don't know why he doesn't just go grab somebody and just dummy him for fun, because he can. And if that's what's going to get him into the game.
Yesterday, did he not?
Nah, not really. Not really.
Oh yeah, because he ran the ran over the
and
guy.
Nobody did.
He deserved it.
Yeah, he fought someone. I can't remember who it was, but
it was Panizzato.
I felt so bad for that goalie.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, well, like 3 minutes left in the game, though. Like any other team, any other goalie, if he gets touched, the whole lineup converges on the one guy and starts beating the crap out of him. This guy, he gets run over, and the whole team's like, "Eh, whatever."
It was one of the worst games I've watched, like all year.
Put in the next goalie.
Easily one of the worst games I watched all year. It was boring.
Yeah,
it was the most boring 7-2 win.
It looked like the game was going in slow motion there for a while.
Yeah. Agreed.
But
oh my god, Benson. You guys agreed on something.
Holy hell! I don't like it. I don't like it. Right. But I think they should move Benson into Cassian's spot. Put Cassian on the fourth line if he's going to coast around and not touch anybody other than the goalie. Randomly, he should be down there. But this depth is probably one of the best lineups for depth wise, probably since 2006, and hopefully it shows
even more so. I'd say, Tyler.
Yeah, I would think so too. But hopefully it shows next season when they go out and instead of getting guys like Fogel or guys like that, they actually get a legitimate top six winger that can play. And if you move them down into the top nine, you actually have legitimate depth. So I still don't think their D's good enough, but that's a whole nother thing.
I would agree. Yeah. If they could pick up one more top four left-handed defenseman for the playoffs, someone with some size, that would make a big difference. Sherratt. Yep.
It costs too much.
I don't think they're going to change their goaltending, honestly, at this point.
I don't think so either, and I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
I think Holland's just going to sit on his hands, and he's going to say, look, Goskin has played well in the last three games. And I should correct myself. In the last three games.
Real good sample size.
Yeah. And then we got Mike Smith coming back, and they're probably just going to roll with it. And if they can beef up their D, that's probably what they'll do. They don't have any cap space either. I think I heard they have like $250,000 in cap space right now. So,
yeah, I did read somewhere that if he retires at the end of the season, I think it's like $9 million in cap space because there's like a positive recapture against the cap for him retiring.
I heard
retiring.
The same thing.
So, I mean, if he retires, you could actually probably re-sign Kane and get like a legitimate top four defenseman to take his spot. He has played well, but I mean, he's not like how much does Edmonton miss somebody like Adam Larson? Right shot that can play top 4 minutes.
A lot.
You could shut teams down. Instead, you have Keith kind of
flailing or Klefbom,
around out there.
For that matter.
Yeah, I miss Klefbom. I'll miss him.
Yeah, we won't get into it.
Sex bomb.
Okay. Sex bomb. Yeah, exactly. No, it looks good. I'm encouraged. Four straight wins now for the Oilers, so nowhere to go but up from here, right? So, all right, let's get back to the news here. The Vancouver Canucks hired, I'm going to butcher this, Emily Castonguay as the assistant general manager on Monday. She's the first female assistant GM in team history. That was really cool to see. Congrats to her. David Pastrnak hit the 20-goal mark again with his NHL-leading 12th tally since January 1st. Nick Foligno suffered an upper body injury on Monday night against Anaheim. Jeff Petrie hit 300 career NHL points against the Minnesota Wild on Monday night. Chris Kreider became the fourth player in Rangers history to score 30 or more goals in 43 games or fewer. Kirill Kaprizov scored 100 NHL points in just 92 games played. I think there's just a handful of players that had reached 100 points quicker than he has. Matthew Tkachuk posted 5 assists and a 7-1 beatdown of the St. Louis Blues. Jordan Binnington was shelled in that loss, posting a 10.50 goals against average, an .800 save percentage, and a negative .389 goals saved above average. So we've talked about that, I think, last week, Huso and Binnington. Tyler, I'm not sure if your opinion's changed at all in that situation, but it really looks right now like Binnington's going to be sitting for a while. I know the Blues just lost here again with Huso in net, but Binnington's been brutal.
Oh, The whole team was brutal in that game, though, in that seven.
And that's fair. That's a fair point, Bruce. But, you know.
They were a lot better in the rematch. But, yeah, the way Huso is playing, I can't see Binnington getting anything more than the second half of back-to-backs for the next little while until Huso loses more than one game.
Agreed. Canada's men's Olympic roster was announced on Tuesday this week. Some notables, I believe, were Mason McTavish. Was it Owen Power? And is there anybody else on that team that really was notable, guys?
Eric Staal.
Eric Staal, yes, thank you. Yep.
Trash.
He's on the list.
Hey, so I got a question about that. I don't know if anybody, if you guys can answer that or not. How can Mason McTavish be on the team when he's signed to an NHL contract and played games in the NHL already?
That's a good question. As I've said before, you're a contract guy, so I kind of assumed you know that one.
I tried doing so. I can't really find a really good reason on why he's done that. The only thing I could think of is he didn't spend the full 10 games in the NHL, so he didn't burn the first year. So I'm assuming that's the loophole they're using for that.
Missed out on the cricket.
Sounds like that was a good opportunity. Yeah, sorry, my bad. I've got the button right here, so I'll make sure to smash it next time. Damn it. Okay, you guys set me up too. That was good. All right. Yeah, sorry, Bruce. I don't have a good answer, but we'll try and maybe Mike knows. We can ask Mike.
Maybe.
The Philadelphia Flyers, speaking of Mike, are adding John Torchetti to their coaching staff. Eric Karlsson, Tyler, sorry, buddy. He had surgery on Tuesday to repair a minor muscular tear in his left forearm. He's out until at least mid-March. That was a good pickup by you late in the draft, and now he's on the shelf for a while.
Yeah. Typical.
Yeah. Mackenzie Blackwood was placed on IR Tuesday with a heel injury. Well, this is interesting. Drake Batherson is going to miss the All-Star game with an ankle injury sustained in Tuesday's game against Buffalo. It was kind of a brutal hit from Aaron Dell, who had a hearing with the league. Batherson is expected to be out long-term. It sounds like a high ankle sprain for Batherson, and Dell received a 3-game suspension for the hit. Thoughts on the play, guys?
Stupid.
It was ugly. It was just ugly. You, well, how else you can phrase it? I think the comment I made is the WWE signed him yet, because it looked like an elbow smash from professional wrestling. Like,
yeah.
Just put her out there and Batherson just went into the boards like you watch a wrestler go into the ropes. It's the same.
I would echo your comment there, Tyler. Stupid is probably the best way I could describe that play.
Yeah.
And then they showed on Sportsnet, I think it was the next night, they went and looked through his history, and Aaron Dell's got a history of taking a run at guys after he leaves the crease or the trapezoid. And so then that sparked the question, are goalies fair game if they leave the net? Which I believe 100%. If you want to leave the net, if you want to go try and run guys, you're a fair game.
Yep.
I think they should get rid of the trapezoid.
Interesting stuff.
I think they should get rid of the trapezoid, and if you leave the crease, you go behind the goal line, or really even above the goal line, you're anybody else. They have more equipment on than anybody else. So you can't just go and pick guys or like set up interference on like a dump and chase and get away with it. Like, you should be fair game to be hit.
But I would actually disagree. I think Bruce and I are talking about this. I like that a goalie can go back and play the puck in the trapezoid and not get clobbered, because a guy like Mike Smith, like, okay, as an Oilers fan, he's like a third defenseman. So they can transition the puck that much faster out of the defensive zone. It saves your defenseman from getting crushed in the corners. So from from that perspective, I like the trapezoid. I agree too with what you're saying. Like, yeah, you can't run interference and you shouldn't be able to elbow guys or, you know, trip them or whatever. But I don't know. As a goalie, it's nice to have a little bit of protection to know you're not going to get completely run over when you're trying to play the puck. But
I think you should be. You should be. You should be run over if you're trying to play the puck there. Anybody else? Anybody
I was going to say, this is weird. I agree with Tyler.
Yeah, did you guys have a little mutiny meeting before this whole thing happened?
No, apparently. We definitely. He took too long to get on. If I think, like, The trapezoid should be gone, and that would help Mike Smith, because Mike Smith's the kind of guy that, like, he would probably lean into you if you even came near him to grab a puck. And
oh, sure.
Every other player, if you go back to catch a puck, you're fair game to anybody else. Why does a goalie have that ability to just skate anywhere and it's totally fine? I think inside of the crease, yeah, maybe you shouldn't run over the goalie there. Anywhere else, light him up.
I mean, that's probably a good objective take, Tyler, but if it's my team, if I'm a GM of any NHL club, I'm going to be pissed if I lose my starting goaltender. If it's Connor Hellebuyck, if it's, you know, Andrei Vasilevskiy, you can't replace those guys, right? Like, you can replace a lot of, I guess. It changes the dynamic of the game, right? Like, you're, yeah.
Well, they did the same thing.
Or they go Billy Smith on them as they come through for the puck.
Yeah, well, I mean, they changed the game putting that trapezoid in. Like, it's the Brodeur rule. And it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, if you want the goalie to go out there and play the puck anywhere outside of the trapezoid, you've seen with everybody else other than Mike Smith, even with Mike Smith, how many times do they turn the puck over and it ends up being a goal? If you want more goals, take out the trapezoid. And I want goalies to get hit.
And the other thing, too, the goalie has a blocker. Guess what they're going to use to block?
Those things hurt.
Oh, here comes a player. Poof!
Those things hurt. Yeah. I caught one of those tonight.
Exactly, right?
I caught one of those tonight, and they don't feel good. And they don't even cut you. It's like getting hit with a phone book. They don't even cut you. It hurts.
Good one.
You're supposed to stay out of the crease, Tyler.
Did you score at least?
This was
the goalies. The trapezoid away, the goalies would find a way to protect themselves. And I'm pretty sure that blocker to the melon will be the first thing that happens.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Let's get back on track here. Let's get back on track. What's next on the list here? Philadelphia Flyers GM Chuck Fletcher said that it would be Captain Claude Giroux's decision as to whether or not he moved to a contender this season. According to David Pagnotta, Giroux will discuss options with his agent, Pat Brisson, during the All-Star break. So, ball's in his court. Do you guys see Giroux getting moved before the trade deadline this season?
I think so. That team's going nowhere.
He does. I think he'll chase it.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, well, and... I think Mike's probably fully aware, but...
yeah.
You know, he would be a hell of an addition to any club for the playoffs. Like, he'd be absolutely a great depth, well, top nine, top six ad, whatever, but he's good in draws and yeah. The Oilers should take him too if he had cap space.
Watch him end up in Pittsburgh.
Run him through Arizona. They'll take anything.
Yeah. Watch him end up in Pittsburgh.
I'd be okay with that.
Third line center.
Yeah. It'll be like their runs in 08 and 09.
Yep.
They had Jordan Staal at 3C.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yes, we know you don't like the Staal brothers, John.
It's like one of those things where you just like spit on the ground or something whenever you...
Yeah. Yeah. Like corner gas or something, hey? Aiden Hill is considered day-to-day with a lower body injury. Obviously, that's going to be more playing time for James Reimer. And actually, Reimer got back-to-back starts here Saturday, Sunday, which was an interesting decision, but he's played okay. Dougie Hamilton was on the ice for practice in a non-contact jersey this week. It sounds like he's still a couple weeks away at least. Brady Tkachuk was added to the NHL All-Star roster in place of his teammate Drake Batherson. Brendan Gallagher and Paul Byron may be available for the weekend, according to head coach Dom Ducharme. I don't think Brendan Gallagher didn't play Saturday, did he? No.
Nope. I don't think Byron did either.
Jonas Brodin practiced on Wednesday. He was activated off IR later in the week. Jonathan Drouin is out indefinitely with an upper body injury. John, you'll love this. Jeff Carter agreed to a 2-year contract extension with the Pittsburgh Penguins. $3.125 million AAV, full no-move clause in both years. I thought the no-move clause was interesting, given his age.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But... Jeff Carter's played well. He's earned another contract.
I was just hoping he'd earned it somewhere else.
They're not going to have Letang, so they're going to have some money to throw around.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Did we add that to the show notes? I don't remember.
No, you had mentioned it to me this week, and I think I put it on you to do it, but I didn't actually add it. So
I definitely forgot.
Yeah, we can chat about that, I guess. You saw the article. Maybe you want to mention it.
Yeah. Basically, the article is just mentioning that Malkin said he is willing to take a pay cut to stay in Pittsburgh. And then in the same article, it comes out that Letang's looking for a pay raise. So not really sure how that's all going to shape up in the future, but...
That'd be brutal for them to lose Chris Letang.
Yeah.
Like, he's not young, but he's still, he's been so good the last couple of years. He's been able to stay healthy, and he's, what you said, he was a point of game this season again, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, time will tell. Nathan MacKinnon left Wednesday's contest after he hit from Taylor Hall, did not return. We later found out it was a broken nose. He had surgery to repair his broken nose. There was a lot of people fired up saying Taylor Hall, it was dirty, whatever. It wasn't a dirty hit. Hall's not a dirty player. MacKinnon's stick caught his nose. And if you see that any differently, I'm going to disagree to the death. So did anyone else here feel differently about it?
I was more like Taylor Hall threw a hit.
Yeah.
And he didn't even really throw a hit. He just kind of braced himself.
He braced himself.
That's all he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even actually a hit.
So. That was it.
And it was his own stick that clubbed him in the face too. So.
Yep. I mean, you know, we see this lots where there's there's incidental contact or a clean hit, and the guy that ends up getting hurt, his teammate comes over, right? So Landeskog comes over and wants to fight Taylor Hall, and Louis DeBrusque was talking, I think, with Bob Stauffer about it this week. I mean, I don't think Hall had to take that fight. Do you guys feel any different? Like, I mean, there was nothing there. I mean, he doesn't have a history. I understand why Landeskog comes over, right? It's his teammate. He's going to do that. But there's no reason for Hall to have to take that fight. And they basically follow him around the ice the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Stupid. It's stupid. If he, he had his elbow tucked, he had everything tucked. Like, he wasn't even looking at him. He just kind of braced himself and... there was nothing that extended out. He didn't try to lean into him at all. He kind of just tucked. I could see if the elbow was a little bit high or something like that and he clipped him, then you should probably fight somebody. Yeah. But, I mean, he just kind of braced himself and skated through it. So, stupid.
Yeah. All right, good. We all agree. Super boring podcast. That's okay. The Colorado Avalanche extended their home win streak to 17 games, the fifth longest such streak in the history of the NHL. Talked about just what happened there. The Calgary Flames set a new single game franchise record last night, the other night, with 62 shots on goal. The Flames ultimately beat the Columbus Blue Jackets by a score of 6-0. It's been a rough month for Columbus. They've not been very good.
Well, they had Montreal tonight. They did a number on them tonight, so that'll make them feel a little
The
better.
Only team this month, Bruce, that's been worse than Columbus was Montreal in terms of goals against per game. So, I kind of knew that game was going to be a bit of a dumpster fire, but Jack Campbell reached the 20-win mark for the first time in his career in just 30 games played, the second fewest games required in franchise history. Andrew Mangiapane scored his 100th NHL career point on Wednesday night. And Dylan Strome scored his first career hat trick on Wednesday against the Detroit Red Wings.
Helps his trade value.
I played him in DFS in DraftKings on Wednesday. Got me 50 points, had me in the money, so that was good. The Vancouver Canucks announced on Thursday that Thatcher Demko, Yaroslav Halak, and Connor Garland were all removed from COVID protocol, and then Demko did join the team in Calgary. Jacob Verana was practicing with the Detroit Red Wings on Thursday in a non-contact jersey. He's not going to join the team for a few more weeks, though. But keep an eye on him if you're looking at the waiver wire. If you have a spot to stash him, I would be looking to grab him in the next week or two.
Already did.
Yeah, look at you, Bruce. Well, you're the president of that fan club, too. The Arizona Coyotes are working on a deal to play in a 5,000-seat arena at Arizona State University. I had to laugh because I think it was Brad Marchand or another player made some comment about this and said it's no different than them being at Glendale. So kind of funny stuff. I mean, I just don't understand why the NHL, like, they make a point to keep Arizona there, and now they're going to actually play in a 5,000 seat arena and just be okay with it for the next 2 or 3 years. Like, I don't understand.
I don't think the problem isn't the on ice. It's the guy that's running it. It's the owner. Like, they haven't found a decent owner for that team yet. And I don't know if they ever will.
Like, do you think that'll,
this owner seems to be a dumpster fire all on his own.
But do you think that's going to change the attendance, Bruce?
Oh God, no. Like, they're going to have to do something more than that, but he's already not paid his bills at the current arena, which why they're out of that one, because he can't pay his bills or won't pay his bills. Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know. It's, you can move the team to another, you can move it to Houston or Quebec City or wherever you want. If the owner isn't going to change, that actually is going to be invested in this. Like, this seems more like a play toy to the current owner than anything else. He's not really invested in it. He doesn't want to spend money on it, obviously, because he's not willing to pay his bills until it comes out publicly.
Right. Yeah, I think Houston would be the right play. I don't know why. It's a big TV market. They, like, between Dallas and Dallas has shown that hockey works in Texas, right? It can.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you don't make that move. But
I'll do it. And to how many executives has Arizona gone through since their inception, right? They've just chewing through coaches and GMs and all kinds of things, right? If they had a good, well, hopefully this current GM and coach will take them somewhere, right? So they can actually have a plan they can build on, but they rebuild every 4 years and they're rebuilding from nothing to, like, so I don't know. It's a disaster from top to bottom, and I don't know if moving the team's going to make it any better.
Could be the case. But, I mean, if they can grab a top two pick in the next draft or two and make some changes with management and things like that, I mean, maybe it gets better in the next 3 to 5 years, but they've been saying that for a long time too. So let's move on.
I didn't even think playing in a...
Yeah. We'll just move. We're not going to solve that problem tonight, so we can just drop that one. But
no.
This will make Tim happy. Adam Lowry played in his 500th career NHL game on Thursday night against the Vancouver Canucks. Obviously, we talked about Evander Kane. The allegations of COVID protocol breach were no further suspension coming, obviously. Kyle Palmieri was activated from injured reserve on Thursday. Alexander Barkov recorded his 28th career NHL... 28th, I don't know what I'm talking about there. 500th career point. It was supposed to say 200th career. 200th career NHL goal and 500 career points on Thursday versus Vegas. Ryan Getzlaf suffered an upper body injury against Montreal and did not return. Tyler Bozak played in his 800th career NHL game versus Calgary on Thursday night. Drew Doughty played in his 1,000th NHL game against the New York Islanders. And Quinton Byfield scored his first NHL goal on Thursday versus the Islanders. Tyson Barrie was placed on IR Thursday night. He was skating at practice, though, I believe, on Sunday, today or yesterday. So he may not be that far away. Max Pacioretty and Riley Smith both returned to the Vegas lineup on Thursday night. JT Miller scored a hat trick against Winnipeg on Thursday. He's got 43 points, 15 goals, and 41 games played. Philip Forsberg scored his 200th career NHL goal against the Edmonton Oilers. Big news here, Adam Fox left Thursday's contest and was considered day-to-day with an upper body injury. He was later placed on IR, and he's going to be out until sometime after the All-Star break. Josh Norris left Thursday's game after sustaining an upper body injury. And rookie Trevor Zegras making news again, scored a lacrosse-style goal on Thursday against Montreal, the fourth such goal in the NHL. And I think I saw somewhere, too, that every lacrosse goal that's been scored has been scored against the Canadian team. Just fun fact.
Surprise.
Yeah. Named a Canadian team named Montreal.
Well, Edmonton was one of them. It was Mike Smith, and I think it was Svechnikov, maybe.
I think Hellebuck had one against too, didn't he? I think Hellebuck had one scored against him, too.
Jonathan Toews is in concussion protocol following a hit in Wednesday's 8-5 win over Detroit. Jonas Larsson is day-to-day with lower body injury. Tuukka Rask is out with a lower body injury and is considered day-to-day. Swayman was recalled, and so now that situation becomes a bit murky. Rask hadn't played well before that. And so Mike had talked about that on Friday night, I think, right? Sent us all a message. Keep an eye on the situation. John, I think you ran out and picked up Swayman, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, and then I think I jumped the gun on that one because then I had just picked up Vanacek, and then I was like, oh, wait, why am I dropping Vanacek? He keeps winning games.
Yeah.
So I actually just went around and dropped Swayman again. So, okay. Surprise, Swayman's on the waiver wire.
There you go. Henrik Lundqvist had his jersey retired at MSG on Friday night. That was a pretty well-done ceremony. Did you guys, anyways, catch highlights of that? No.
No.
Anyway, it was interesting.
Knowing him, it would be pure class.
It was. He was wearing a three-piece suit. And
absolutely, he would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah, Britt was asking me, who is this guy? Like, what's up with his hair?
Best.
So that's his trademark. That's his trademark, yeah.
Best dressed guy in the league.
Yes, absolutely. And then the same night, Sergei Zubov's number was retired at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. Ryan O'Reilly played in his 900th NHL game on Saturday against Winnipeg. Aaron Dell was placed on waivers by the Sabres on Saturday, and then he cleared shortly after. Bo Horvat returned to action for the Canucks on Saturday. Chris Russell played in his 900th NHL game on Saturday night against the Canadiens. Michael Bunting scored his second career hat trick for the Maple Leafs. Teuvo Teravainen is day to day. Did not play Saturday against the Devils. Jacob Markstrom had a 15 save shutout, giving him 7 on the season, and he is now tied with Mika Kiprusoff for the second most shutouts in a single season in franchise history. Draisaitl scored twice to record his 4th consecutive 30 goal season. Tyler, you like this one. Roman Josi was added to the All Star game in place of Nathan MacKinnon. Jake Gensel recorded an assist earlier on Sunday to reach 300 career NHL points in 338 games. Marcus Foligno sat out Sunday's contest against the New York Islanders due to an upper body injury. We got some news on Carey Price. He expects to know in the next couple of weeks if he's going to be able to return again this season. And Casey Mittelstadt left tonight's game against the Avalanche and did not return. So his terrible season continues.
He's not having any luck. He just gets back in the lineup when he's hurt again.
All right, guys, so that is it for Headlines with the Hacks. It's probably a good time to tell our listeners about NHLShop.ca, the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast, a proud partner of NHLShop.ca, the best source for all your officially licensed NHL apparel and merchandise. Follow the links in our show notes or on our website. Save up to 50% on select apparel now and get free shipping on orders over $99. Use promo code NHLFS80 is the new promo code there at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps to continue providing original content and pay for Tyler's gambling habits. Which, any update this week, Tyler?
I actually won last night. I had Vancouver plus 1.5.
Okay.
And then today, football really let me down. Really let me down.
You didn't pick the Bengals? What the hell?
I didn't pick. And I don't even. It was like. So I don't use like the plus 200, plus 250 or whatever. It was like 1.29 for Kansas City to win. I shouldn't even have clicked on it. It was nothing. It did nothing for me. Not a single thing. And I got the three other games right. I had the Rangers. I had somebody else. I had the Rams. And the fucking KC. I should have known better, and I shouldn't even clicked on it because it didn't do anything. It was like an extra $5, and I ended up losing it all. So,
stupid. Okay, so really what Tyler's saying is please go buy some jerseys, some hats, some t-shirts, something.
Please, for the love of God.
Something.
The links are in the show notes. Go check them out. Help out Tyler and the rest of us. Okay, well, let's move on to our next segment here.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Ask the Hacks, starting with, my goalies are currently Jordan Binnington, Cam Talbot, and Tuukka Rask. Have Binnington and Talbot lost their starting jobs for the remainder of the season? We've kind of alluded to this a couple times, guys. Talbot, I would say no. Binnington, I'm leaning towards yes. Any differing viewpoints there?
I think they're both no's. Binnington will get to figure it out.
I don't know if
it'll happen. It'll be like, it'll be the last 2 months of the season, last month of the season, and he'll go on a tear again into the playoffs, and everybody will forget this ever happened.
Yep, that's very likely. Very likely. Follow the money, as we talked about in the past.
Yeah, thinking the same thing. They'll lose a few starts here, but when it comes down the stretch, they'll be in the crease.
Fair enough. John, you kind of
trade him to me, but that's fine.
Yeah, Bruce is driving a hard bargain for Binnington.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Price is sky high.
I know.
Oh, boy. John, you feel the same way, though?
I don't know. The way Bennington's played is just... And Huso's been so good lately, but yeah, like I don't know how that's going to play out for the rest of the year, so it is a tough question. But yeah, no, I probably will agree with you guys.
Yeah, you were trashing Binnington last week.
Oh, he's still, don't get me wrong, he's still garbage.
And rightfully so, yeah, no question.
I just don't know if I have a whole lot of trust in Huso.
Like long term, you're saying?
Long term, yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure, ride him out until he fails you, but...
Next up here, Alex Tuck or Clayton Keller. Weekly lock head-to-head categories includes hits. Tuck. They're both having great seasons.
Yep. But
Yeah, Tyler, you're right. Because he's 12 points in 11 games right now, I think.
Yep.
And, yeah, he's we've been saying for a long time, he just needed a chance. He wasn't getting it in Vegas, right? He just needed some ice time. And he's playing roughly, he's just under 20 minutes, and same with Keller. Keller's got 35 points and 16 goals in 43 games. He's been good for Arizona, but.
Yeah. Tuck played 24 minutes tonight.
Jeez, yeah. And probably a ton of minutes on the power play, too.
Yeah.
Gotta get those shifts. Damn it, you beat me to it. what do we got here? Five and a half minutes on the power play for Tuck.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be our answer there. Go with Alex Tuck. ESPN head-to-head standard league. Currently first place at 11-2. My goalies are Ilya Sorokin, Darcy Kemper, Sergei Bobrovsky, and Tuukka Rask. Semyon Varlamov and Ville Husso are available on waivers. Should I drop anyone? Who should I pick up?
No.
Yeah, I would say drop Rask probably at this point. And Husso or Varlamov, what do you guys like?
That's Husso. A tough one. I'm Husso. Going Husso.
Husso for the short term.
Probably Husso. Yeah,
for the short term, I would say Husso for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Sorokin and Varlamov are going to be a 50-50 split.
And the thing here, though, to remember, like they've got Sorokin. So I mean, if you want to carry a tandem, you can grab Varlamov, and you can ride out that Islanders tandem, and get the full share of the crease, which makes some sense to me. And Varlamov's actually been really good, and you kind of know that those guys are going to play 50-50 like down the stretch. It may change in the playoffs. They may go with one guy, but. Hard to turn down Ville Husso too, though, right? So I don't know. I'd say probably Husso, but if some people just don't agree with running a tandem, right? They just won't do it. So
yeah,
great. I have Jordan Binnington and Carter Hart in a couple of leagues. Is it time to sell on these guys? Well. We're getting a lot of questions on Jordan Binnington. So, yeah.
If you can get anything for him.
If you can get a good enough return on him, sure. But, I mean, you probably safe to say you could sell on Carter Hart because Philly's not going to get any better for the rest of the season. And if they're selling at the deadline, they're going to get worse, actually. But the Blues are solid.
Best thing you'll get out of Hart is starts.
So, Yeah, I mean, in a, any sort of keeper or dynasty league, I don't think you're selling off on those guys. David Pastrnak for Chris Kreider and Ryan Hartman. I think it's lopsided towards Kreider and Hartman, but Zuccarello is still available in the on the waiver wire. I think if I can get Pastrnak and pick up Zuccarello, I'll be better off. Thoughts?
I don't know if you get Pastrnak for Kreider. Which way is this guy going?
No, he's acquiring Pastrnak, and he's trading away Chris Kreider and Ryan Hartman. And then he would pick up Zuccarello.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I would do it.
If he's going to pick up Zuccarello, then yeah, I'd do it.
Who knows when Kreider is... Kreider's having a great season, but this isn't typical for him, so he could fall off a cliff at any time here. And or Pastrnak is a proven performer throughout the year. And Hartman, well, who knows with Hartman? He's on line with Kaprizov, so that could also change with an injury too. So it's, but yeah, Pastrnak and Zuccarello. I think I'd rather have those two.
I would agree. Any other thoughts here, guys? Okay. Would you trade Darcy Kuemper for Jason Robertson?
No.
No.
I wouldn't.
Okay, get a lot of no's there. And this one kind of came in a little later. We had this one came through Twitter. Need some goalie help. I drafted goalies late. I have Demko, Gibson, and Kakinen. Anaheim only plays two times for the upcoming week, and Talbot is back as a starter. My league has three goalie appearances. Games played, wins, save percentage, shutouts. Do I drop Kakinen? Will Kakinen get starts with Talbot back? There are no true starters in my league left. Only Tuukka Rask, Mike Smith, Ottawa and Arizona goalies. Backups are Pavel Francouz, Jeremy Swayman, Peter Mrazek, Jonas Korpisalo, Gorgiev. Any suggestions? Do I keep Kakinen or drop for goalies? Drop goalie for more goalie starts?
I think, well, what I would do in that case is I would just, I'd play the matchups. If one of those guys has a good matchup, do spot starting for your third goalie until an injury happens and one of those guys will get more time.
Yep.
Kakinen's interesting because Talbot's, even with his back, he's been a bit shaky. Like, Kakinen got to start tonight again. They were winning before we started the podcast here, but Talbot's only a couple of more shaky starts away from losing his spot too, so in the short term. But I just use spot starts to fill in the appearances.
Okay.
Yeah, Kakinen won tonight, 3 goals against, 40 saves.
He's good when he plays, right? But it like until recently, he hardly saw the net.
Yeah.
No, they ran Talbot hard until the Winter Classic when he got hurt.
Yeah. So I would agree with that, Bruce. Yeah, try. I would probably drop Kakinen and just stream some goalies in the short term. And then my other, I was going to pull up some of the details here on the trade, but. Because I think it's a Dynasty League points. I sort of suggested maybe you just want to try and make a trade. If you got some depth in other positions, you know, maybe you want to just try and make a trade for a third goaltender. Okay. Alrighty. Tyler, it's time for your weekly break, my friend. Yeah, here he goes. Yeah, go grab yourself a drink here. All right, as a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast is a proud partner of DraftKings. We're into the NFL playoffs here, and counting down to Super Bowl 56. New customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer, you can experience the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you had, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indianapolis, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit, and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And Bruce. Oh, there's John. John actually made his way back. Okay, I don't know where Tyler went, but he's probably refilling his drink. There's no drink service for Tyler tonight, I guess.
What?
Yeah. Let's move on to Edge Work, the segment where we do the work for you to win your Fantasy Hockey League. Butchered that one. We're okay.
Sure did.
Moving along. Let's start with the NHL schedule here. And it's kind of an interesting schedule for the upcoming week or two, right? Just with the NHL All-Star weekend coming up, there are no regular season games taking place from Thursday to Sunday. As a result, the upcoming week, January 31st to February 6th, will extend into the following week, February 7th to the 13th. So we're going to cover off the second part of week 17 in episode 46, which will be available on Monday, February 7th. But for the upcoming week, there are a grand total of 20 games on the schedule. Chicago, Detroit, and Edmonton play both of their games on light days, Mondays and Wednesdays, and offer some added fantasy appeal for the upcoming week. Boston, Calgary, Colorado, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Nashville, New York, Islanders, Toronto, Vegas, and Winnipeg have favorable schedules based on left-wing lock strength of schedule tool, so give those teams a look. Monday, we've got 5 games, Tuesday, 11, and then Wednesday, 4 games, and then, like I said, no games for the rest of the week. So we're just going to look at teams with 2 games and teams with 1 game. And starting with the Calgary Flames, their strength of schedule is minus 25. Since January 1st, Calgary's actually, they haven't been great. They're 4-6-0, 26th in points percentage league-wide. However, they've got some quality players in terms of fantasy on the waiver wire. And Calgary is one of a few teams that will play twice for the upcoming week. They've got road matchups against Dallas and Arizona. The Stars have given up the 10th most goals for, they've got the 10th most goals for per game at 3.42 in January. And Arizona, the 8th most at 3.5 goals against per game. Calgary's minus 25 strength of schedule rating from left-wing lock is the 9th most favorable for the upcoming week, and the Flames have the 3rd best possession metrics in January with an unblocked shot attempt percentage of 55.5. So they've got some good matchups here for the coming week. Take a look at Andrew Mangiapane, Michael Backlund, Blake Coleman, Sean Monahan, Dylan Dubé, Noah Hanifin, Rasmus Anderson, and Daniel Vladar. And then next up, we've got Toronto. Strength of schedule is minus 27. The Leafs have a points percentage of 750 in the month of January. That's good enough for 7th in the league. They've got the 5th best possession metrics with an unblocked shot attempt percentage of 54.7. And they're another team that plays twice next week with a home-and-home against the New Jersey Devils. New Jersey in January is 30th in points percentage at .273. That's a record of 3-8-0. And they're currently allowing the 11th most goals against per game at 3.36. Take a look at Michael Bunting, who just scored a hat trick this past week. Mm-hmm. Andre Kasha, Ilya Mikheyev, Alex Kerfoot, TJ Brody, and Peter Mrazek. And then moving on to teams with 1 game, we've got the Minnesota Wild. They've got a strength of schedule minus 21. Since January 1st, the Minnesota Wild have the 2nd best points percentage at .833. That's a 7-1-1 record, and the 2nd highest goals for per game at 4.33. Conversely, Chicago has the 6th worst goals against per game since January 1st at 3.57, and they just lost Jonathan Toews this week due to concussion. The Wild have owned the Blackhawks so far this season, taking a 5-1 win on January 21st and a 4-3 win on January 22nd. Foligno, who's now injured, but Zuccarello, Fiala, Greenway, Spurgeon, and Goligoski all contributed offensively in those first 2 contests of the season series. So assuming he is healthy again, take a look at Marcus Foligno, as well as Matt Zuccarello, Kevin Fiala, Jordan Greenway, Jared Spurgeon, and Alex Goligoski. I think Fiala just extended his point streak tonight, guys. He's up to 11 games with a point now. So,
nice.
Yeah, that second half thing really is, that's his shtick.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got the Vegas Golden Knights. Their strength of schedule is minus 33. They take on the Buffalo Sabres next week in what should be a very lopsided affair, at least on paper. Since January 1st, Buffalo has allowed the 7th most goals against per game at 3.5. It's a 3-5-2 record. And with the exception of Jack Eichel, the Vegas roster is healthy. Vegas also has the 2nd best possession numbers in the league since January 1st at 57.1 USAT percentage. Take a look at Riley Smith, William Karlsson, Evgeny Dadonov, Nicholas Roy, Zach Whitecloud, and Laurent Brossoit. And then last year, we've got the Winnipeg Jets with a strength of schedule of minus 33. Now, they've struggled a lot since the calendar flips to 2022. They've got a 3-5-2 record. However, they've got a good schedule coming up here with a matchup against the Philadelphia Flyers, who have a league-worst 1-10-2 record since January 1st, and they're giving up nearly 4 goals against per game. And they have the 31st ranked power or penalty kill at 63.6%. Take a look at Cole Perfetti, Paul Stastny, who I think had 2 goals last night, Brendan Dillon, and Nate Schmidt. And that wraps up the schedule portion of edge work. Let's move on to waiver wire targets, which, according to our poll so far, is what everybody looks forward to. So let's kick it off here with Tim Stützle, 34% rostered, 2 games for next week against Edmonton and the Islanders. He's playing on the second line with Formanton and Sanford, as well as power play 1. He was pointless in his last 2 outings, but he's had 6 points, 2 goals in his 8 games prior to that. He's getting nearly 18 minutes per game, and he actually played over 24 minutes in his last 2 games against Anaheim and Carolina. He's stuck. He's locked in a power play 1, 63% power play share, and his individual shooting percentage right now at 8.4%. Along with his team's even strength shooting percentage of 7.3 and his IPP of 58.8, would all suggest that we're going to see potentially some improved production from Stützle moving forward.
That kid's going to be a stud in the future.
Yeah. The second coming of Draisaitl.
I don't even know what to say to that.
No, he's his own player. I mean, he is going to be good, though. And Ottawa in general, actually, they've got a lot of pieces that I like. Mm. All right, next up, Matthew Boldy, 6% rostered. He's got 1 game for next week against Chicago. He's playing on the third line with Fiala and Goudreau, and he's locked on to power play 1. He's on a 72-point pace for the Wild, albeit just in 8 games, but the Wild rookie, he's found chemistry with Kevin Fiala, who has 13 points, 8 goals in his last 10 games. And that actually didn't include tonight's game, so even more than that. So Boldy is playing nearly 17 minutes and 234 on the man advantage. He's got to be on your radar for redraft, keeper, and dynasty leagues. I'm not sure if you guys have paid much attention to what he's doing there, but he's been good. And for DFS purposes, he's a great option too, because he's been in that $27,000 to $3,000 salary range. So if you're looking to fill out the bottom end of your DFS lineup, good option there. Alex Iafallo, 31% rostered, 1 game against Detroit for next week. He's been playing with Kopitar and Kempe all season long, basically. Power play 1. He's on pace for a career best 51 points and 25 goals playing in that top line, like I said. He's posted 7 points, 4 goals in his last 10 games played, and continues to be a very good streaming option. He's shooting a career high 2.9 shots on goal per game, and his team's even strength shooting percentage at 7.5%, and his IPP at 65.9 suggests, again, more production could be coming. We've got Dylan Strome here, 9% rostered, 2 games next week against Vancouver, Minnesota. He's playing with Brandon Hagel and Patrick Kane, and he's seeing time on power play 2. He's got his first career NHL hat trick against the Detroit Red Wings earlier this week, and he seems to have hit his stride late in the season. He's got 11 points, 5 goals in his last 9 games played. No red flags in terms of underlying metrics, and his team's even strength shooting percentage of 6%, which suggests we'll see some more regression coming from him. His line mates have been good as well. Brandon Hagel, who's just 2% rostered, has 8 points and 5 goals in his last 8 games. And Patrick Kane, John, is doing Patrick Kane things with 11 points, 4 goals in his last 10 games.
Of course he is.
Making
everybody around him better.
Yeah. Valeri Nichushkin, 30% rostered. He's got 1 game next week against Arizona. He's playing with Landeskog and Rantanen with MacKinnon out. Give him a look. He's been very good this season. He's got 21 points, 11 goals in 26 games to date. I think he's actually 22 and 27 now, but his individual shooting percentage is high relative to his 3-year average, and his team's even strength shooting percentage is a bit high at 10.9%, but it's reasonable that we'll see some regression, but he's been very good, and given his lineup placement, he's a player I'm not going to overlook. Mason Marchman. I actually just looked at this last night. Were you guys really familiar with Mason Marchman or what he's doing in Florida right now? He's on a 3-game point streak, 6 points, 4 goals, and he's been playing third line left wing with Anton Lundell. And he actually, Sam Reinhart was on that third line last night. Marchman has 17 points, 6 goals, and 20 games played. He's only playing 13.05 per game and very little on the power play. But yeah, that's very solid production from a guy who's playing in the third line in Florida. So I would, and actually, so good streamer option, obviously, especially in deep leagues, but he's offering up 2.5 hits per game as well. So take a look at him.
But his shifts are down, though.
The shifts are, yeah, they're just not worth it. No, 13 minutes is garbage.
Yep. You know, if he only stood on the ice for like 10 seconds at a time, it'd be okay, but.
Sure. Let's move on to defensemen here, starting with Rasmus Anderson. 37%.
This guy's good for shifts.
Yeah, great for shifts. Power play 1, playing with Hanifin. 2 games for next week. He's got 4 points in his last 6 games played and 17 shots on goal, averaging 22 minutes per game, John.
Sounds about right.
Yep. Good option there if you're looking for D. Damon Severson's been really good for the Devils with Dougie Hamilton out. 22% rostered, 2 games on the schedule for next week, home and home with Toronto. He's got, as of Saturday morning, he had 12 points, 3 goals in his last 10 games played. He's averaging 26-27 per game. Nearly 70% power play share, and he's shooting a career best 2.3 shots on goal per game. So, I mean, he's got value even beyond when Hamilton comes back, but he's a guy that, for now, he's given you top pairing minutes in production. Going a little bit deeper here, we got Brendan Dillon, not really much of an offensive defenseman, 9% rostered, 1 game against Philly for next week, but he is playing on the top pair with Nate Schmidt. Provides a bit of exposure to some guys like Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Andrew Kopp, and he's on pace for 24 points, which is basically what you expect from the guy. But he does contribute to hits, blocks, pims, and shots on goal. And then we'll move on to goaltenders here, starting with Matt Murray, 10% rostered, 2 games for next week against Edmonton and the Islanders. After Thursday's 3-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, he is now 3-0-2 in his last 5 starts with a 1.97 goals against average and a .937 save percentage, as well as a 4.15 goals saved above average. So like I said, 2 games for next week. They are back-to-back, so Murray's going to get probably one of those games. Since January 1st, the Senators have a record of 4-3-2, 5.56 points percentage, 15th in the league. I threw in Mikko here, guys, just because he's been good the last 4 games. John, you really sold me on the Mikko for Vezina talk. Tyler, I know you're shaking your head at this, but look, as a streaming option, the Vezina talk, we're kidding, but he does this. He goes in spurts. Bruce, I think you and I talked about it last week. You know, he's either a Vezina candidate or he's an AHL caliber goaltender. Like, there's really no in between. You don't, consistency, you're not really sure, but I mean, Tyler, are you against Ottawa and Washington? Are you going to hesitate to stream him in at least one of those games for next week?
He doesn't want to say.
I mean, I get it.
He doesn't want to do it.
Even the games he won, like, I mean, we watched the games. Like, he was flailing around all over the place. He was lucky to save a lot of what he saved. If I wasn't an Oilers fan, yeah.
Two words for you, Tyler.
What's that?
He's Dominik Hasek for the Oilers.
Yeah, just not the bad version. He's the bad version of that.
A poor man's Hasek.
like not just poor, like real hobo Hasek.
Hasek at least knew what he was doing.
But if you're not like,
I don't even think Hasek knew what he was doing.
If you're not an Oilers fan though, and you're just kind of looking at this objectively, yeah, I would probably look at streaming him if you're reaching.
Yeah. Well, if you're desperate for
a shorter week next week.
Like,
yep.
Just, I'll throw his numbers quick.
Real desperate.
But he's 3-0-0 in his last three starts and a .933 save percentage. He's finally got a 2.25 goal, like a goal saved above average is positive, right? He hasn't a positive number, I think, all season. So he's actually been good. And you know what? That game against Nashville, he made some pretty key saves for the Oilers, like those saves that you need to win a game every once in a while. And then that save in the shootout with Duchesne, which is, I mean, it was kind of an awkward save, but he made it, right? And whatever. He was flailing around. I get it.
Right into his pad.
Yeah, fair enough. But I'm trying to give the guy a little bit of credit here.
Just laying there. I know. I think just based off their schedule, so if he goes against Ottawa, I would play him in that based off the fact that Edmonton lost their last game to Ottawa. They're going to win that one. Washington, I don't know. Is that an afternoon game?
That's a good question. Yeah, I didn't actually check the time.
Because it'll be during the week, but I think that one goes to Skinner. But if he plays against Ottawa, I would play him. Otherwise, just stay away.
Fair enough. And then the last goaltender I've got here is Spencer Knight. 41% rostered. Two games coming up here against Columbus and the Rangers. In his last two starts, Spencer Knight has he's posted numbers closer to what we expect from him, like based on what we saw last season. 2-0-0 record with a .96 goals against average and a .962 save percentage, along with a 2.71 goals saved above average. So they're playing back-to-backs next week. Knight's going to get at least one of those games. I would expect it's probably the second half, but maybe they'll give that. It's against the Rangers, so maybe they give that to Bobrovsky. But, I mean, either way, so if he gets a start against Columbus, that's a great spot start. Keep that in mind. Any other players you guys wanted to talk about? Any other updates I missed? John, Bruce, Tyler?
Crickets. Where's the button? Where's the button?
Where's my...
the crickets button?
Man, you suck at this.
Man, it's our first time running the panel. I totally forgot about the buttons, but... Anyway, there's the crickets for you guys. That's it for this week. Thanks everybody for tuning in. It was another solid episode, guys. Thanks for joining me. We will be back. I think we might actually try and get Mike on for the next episode because it's been about a month now. So we'll probably have his fact or fiction segment coming up. If not on the next episode, it'll be the one after that. But we'll have to check in with Mike's schedule and see where he's at. As always, guys, keep submitting those questions, please. Hashtag ask the hacks or send us an email, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at FHHacks, on Instagram at fantasyhockeyhacks. Check out that poll. Please vote and like and retweet and just keep that going and give us some feedback so we can continue to get better and provide you guys some more good information. And with that, guys, we will roll out. We'll wrap it up here for another week. So we'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Bye, Felicia.
Take care. We'll